100 albums. One Vic Vaughn. It's Vic's Picks on the Nick DiGilio Show.
Yes. Welcome, everybody, to Vic's Picks. And let's get Vic on the line here. Vic, welcome to the show.
Morning, sir.
Morning. And Esmeralda's mad you're not here.
Dare you?
I cannot believe Esmeralda's there. I heard that.
Yo-Yo Ma is more important than I am? Whatever, man.
I can't believe this happened, that I took the night off, which I never do, and then you come into the studio. Are you avoiding me? Is this?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm not the one that's here every night.
Well, it's nice to have,
to hear her voice.
Oh, it's so great to have her here, man. It's so great. Okay, Vic, let's get to it, man. You've been piling through this list of top 100s. Let's start with the first one.
Number 39, The Beatles, Please Please Me, 1963. This was their debut studio album. They had released the single titled Please Please Me in November of 62, hit number one in most markets. This album, I wanted to start with that because this album, the kind of takeaway I took from researching it was that George Martin, their producer, said that they wanted to capitalize off of that single, the momentum. And so he asked them, like, you know, what do you have right now? What do you have that's ready to go? And this album is basically that. That's what this album is. This is what they had ready to go. It's mostly written by Lennon and McCartney, except a couple tracks. But yeah, man, I started listening to this one. I saw her standing there. It was one of the only songs on the album that I knew. And I love that song. That song was stuck in my head for a week.
Now, by the way, Vic, you should see the look on Esmeralda's face when you said that that was the only song that you recognized.
My God.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Esmeralda and I never really talked about this side of me. I think she knew
that's non-existent?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't think we really talked about it much. She knew I liked some country music. So that might have been a good indicator.
And Peruvian flutes.
Yeah, that's right. Peruvian flutes.
Ecuadorian.
Oh,
I'm
right. Sorry. Ecuadorian flutes. That's right. But yeah, and also, by the way, Vic, Esmeralda is one of the biggest Beatles fans on the planet, so that's why she reacted.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I took a class in college.
You know what? I need to take one as well because they're amazing. Yeah. I mean, every single freaking song I listen to is a toe-tapping, like, catchy tune. I mean, these guys knew how to write a song.
Well, that's amazing. You know, Vic, that was the time of the period of their career when that's what they did. They did fantastic pop, 3-minute pop songs, and then as they progressed, they became more interesting and more complex. And by the time Rubber Soul and Revolver came out, they were a completely different band.
Yeah,
and that's the thing, and Esmeralda, that. Like, I'll come across a band like the Beatles that I never listened to, you know, gave much thought to. I'll come across them and fall in love with their music, and I want to just listen to everything they've ever written or produced.
Yeah, as
but
you
I
should.
Can't 'cause I'm, and I will, but I can't right now. I'm on this quest.
He's on the top 100 quest.
Right.
But as you, but I'll,
well,
I will tell you,
you'll run into him.
I was going to say, Vic, as you go up the list, you're going to run into the Beatles a few more times. You're going to trust me on this one.
You got that right.
Yeah.
You got that right.
Yeah. So, all right. Do we want to hear a little bit? Want to hear a little bit of this? Here we go.
Ginny almost slapped me in the head when I said this song came on, and I said, "Is this the Sesame Street song? Is this the start to the Sesame Street?"
Oh my gosh!
Oh, wow!
I don't even know that song, the Sesame Street song. Who wrote that?
I don't know. Somebody at Sesame Street wrote it.
Okay.
So do you want to move on to the next one, Vic?
Well, yeah, we could do that.
Well, did you have anything else from the Beatles that you wanted to talk about?
I took some other notes. I mean, I haven't read them since I went over that. I think I listened to this album about 6 days ago. So let's see. I really like track 10, Baby It's You. I love that song. Currently, track 11, I knew that one, and I really like it. Do you want to know a secret? I knew that one. Track 12, Twist and Shout. Of course, I knew that one. So here, there were some songs I knew about it. I mean, I knew on this song, but. I really like this album, and I want to listen to, like I said, many, many more songs by the Beatles. I'm becoming a fan of them.
Yeah, well, you'll be hearing a lot more of them on your quest.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
What's next, Vic?
Oh, boy, number 38, Muddy Waters, The Anthology, 2001. This is a double compilation album, so it took a while. There's like 50 songs on it. It was almost 2.5 hours, but... this was a great album for me to come across because I hadn't listened to Muddy Waters. I know about them just from living in Chicago, and you can't not hear about Muddy Waters. So I knew about them, but I hadn't really listened to. I'd never listened to an album, you know, of his. And but this was a great one for me to be introduced to because critics kind of have sort of said that this album that if any two records could be selected to get the full Muddy Waters story, it would be this album.
Yeah.
So that was a good, this album though, is phenomenal. Every single song I loved on this album, he said moving to Chicago in the early 40s, but he said that was like the one life-changing moment for him was that move to Chicago. So, but I actually have started a side project from this album. Really made me want to pick up my guitar and see if I could do the blues, and I couldn't do anything. So I started to try to learn how to play the blues on my acoustic guitar, you know, just as a hobby. So we'll see how that goes.
Were you a blues fan beforehand?
No.
Were you into it at all?
Yeah, I mean, I would enjoy it. Like, I had been, you know, I have been to a few blues bars and blues clubs, and so I know the music, and I love the music, but I don't think I've ever listened to a blues album start to finish this other than when I started this quest, because I listened to one a few weeks ago.
And it's virtually impossible to live in this city and not to have at least been to one or two or three or four or five blues clubs.
Yeah. So. And we're going to go to Buddy Guy's place again coming up. So that's another thing that this is really making me want to get out and see live music again.
Okay, cool.
So we're going to be doing that. Muddy Waters is the man. I'm in love with Muddy Waters music now. And so, but do we have any of that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great stuff, man.
That stuff just transports me to a bygone era, you know.
Yeah,
it's old blues. It's just wonderful stuff.
Yeah, it is great. Okay, Vic, hang on, my friend.
All right,
Vic Vaughn is here. He took the night off because Esmeralda came in.
We hate each other.
We're going to continue with Vic's picks coming up. After we take a break for the weather, a little commercial break here, and then we will continue on this musical journey that our good friend Vic Vaughn is going on. But I want to give you the forecast right now from the WGN Weather Center. For today, mostly cloudy, more humid, a high near 80, 60s lakeshore, though, and showers overnight. For tomorrow, humid, much warmer, high to mid 80s, showers and thunderstorms likely in the late afternoon, scattered rain and thunderstorms overnight. For Sunday, partly cloudy, humid, scattered shower or thunderstorm possible, especially in the afternoon and evening. High temp near 80. For Monday, High in the low 80s, a chance of scattered showers or thunderstorms again overnight. Low in the mid-60s Tuesday. Here's a shocker. High in the low 80s, a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms again overnight and low in the mid-60s. It's absurd. This weather has been absurd. Current temperatures 54 degrees at O'Hare, 55 at Midway, and 58 at the lakefront. Okay, let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll talk more with Vic about Vic's picks right here on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell coming up at 5, and also coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, we are in the middle of Vic's picks as Vic makes his way through the Rolling Stone top 100 albums of all time in an effort to bolster his musical knowledge. So last week at this time, we had to discuss a band that I hated, and that was The Doors.
Okay, yeah.
And so now we have to discuss another band that I absolutely hate, the Eagles. Vic?
hey, can I say one thing real quick before we get started?
Yeah.
I just want to give a shout-out to Roger Badish. Thanks for covering, buddy. And I want to invite Esmeralda for coffee after this so she knows that I don't hate her. We might.
You're not going to fall asleep again, are you?
I'm right across the park from the station in the lobby of my apartment, so we can go have coffee at Subway. That's probably the only place.
Wait,
open.
Did you just say at Subway?
That's probably the only place that's open.
At 5 o'clock in the morning, yeah.
The last time we were supposed to have breakfast.
And he fell asleep?
He fell asleep.
Oh. Yeah, that's right.
Well, he's clearly awake now. So, I'm still on for another hour, so he could conceivably
fall asleep in the lobby.
Yeah,
that's true. Or you could just leave the show early.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
So, all right. Eagles Hotel California is number what on the list?
Number 37.
Ugh. Okay.
Yeah, is that too high?
In my opinion? In my opinion, it shouldn't be on the top 100. It shouldn't be in the top 500. I can't stand
it. On 37. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I can't stand the Eagles. So what is it? But we want to hear what you think of the Eagles.
Yeah, I was thinking about you when I was listening to this, Nick, because I know you're not a fan, so I had a smile on my face when I started it. But, this album, I didn't take any notes when I was listening to, because I was actually at the pool with my kid. My boys were up for the weekend and they were swimming, so I was on the side of the pool. So I didn't do any research on the Eagles anyway either. But I remember recognizing obviously track one. I knew Hotel California, and you'll be happy to know that it's not a favorite song of mine either. But I was familiar with that song. I do remember recognizing track two by the time I got to the solo track two, New Kid Town. I remember that I was familiar with that song by the time I got to the solo track three, Right in the Fast Lane. I'm familiar with, and I like the guitar riff in the beginning of that song. I'm trying to take positives, you know. I don't write the negatives down. So if I zip through the Eagles real quickly, it probably means I wasn't super thrilled by them. But track four, Wasted Time. I thought that was a beautiful song, actually. It was much different than the first three. Track five, Wasted Time Replies, which is beautiful, I thought. And then, bam, track six, Victim of Love kicks in. It's a much more rock and roll song, so the album kind of picks back up. Track seven, Pretty Maids All in a Row. Track eight, Try and Love Again. Track nine, The Last Resort. I had never heard any of all three of those. But I thought it was all in all a nice album, especially like if you're doing what I was doing, which is just by the pool, chilling out. I didn't mind it. I thought it was okay.
You know that there. This is a little fact here, Vic, that the Eagles' Greatest Hits album is the biggest selling album of all time.
Like it's, is that
yeah,
right?
Yes,
wow.
the greatest.
Well, and I know this album was hugely successful. I read
huge.
Later. Yeah,
yeah. No, yeah. Hotel California was a huge album when it came out. So
this was we should say 1976, and it was their fifth studio album. But I did read later that that it was hugely successful.
It was massive. You couldn't get away from it. You couldn't get away from it. I tried. I really tried to get away from it, but you couldn't. all right, Vic. Now we're going to talk about something that I love. What's the next one, Vic?
All right. Number 36, Carole King. You knew who this was going to be?
No, I have a I have the list in front of me.
Okay, yeah.
Tapestry, he has it memorized, album. Didn't you know, Vic?
No, and again, let me just say this really quickly. I think that 36 is too low for Tapestry. I think Tapestry. Yeah. I think Tapestry is one of the greatest albums ever recorded, ever. And so I think it's a little too low. What'd you think, Vic?
I have a lot of notes, so that's what I think. So this came out in 1971. It was her second studio album, and this also, Nick, this was one of the best-selling albums of all time.
Oh yeah,
it won. Won 4 Grammys, including Album of the Year in 71 or 72, whatever. But the first 3 tracks I knew right away. I Feel the Earth Move, So Far Away, and It's Too Late. Amazing songs. And I remember my mother singing them to me when they'd be on the radio when I was a little kid. Mm. So I'm very connected with those 3 songs. Didn't track 4, Home Again, but boy, she sings that so honestly, and her vocals are just, they're simple and beautiful, and she killed me in that track, Home Again.
Yeah.
I thought track 5 was beautiful. Never heard it before, but it was literally my theme song all week long. It's a good song if you're feeling a little, if you're like feeling a little self-conscious or like you're not good enough, which we all have those feelings at times, man. This song, this is the song to get you out of that funk. That was my theme song all week. Track 6, Way Over Yonder, I could listen to that one. That I wrote down, I could listen to that one on a rainy night forever. Mm. That's what I wrote down for that track. Track 7, You've Got a Friend. At this point, it really started to sink in how many great songs she has written or co-written, which is every single song on this album.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just amazing.
Vic, she wrote so many classic songs, not just for herself, but for so many other artists.
Yeah.
Carole King's one of the greatest songwriters that's ever lived. She's just unbelievably talented.
Is she one of the Brill Building writers?
Yeah, okay. She was in the Brill Building and wrote a lot of those classic tunes from that time period, too. And it just, and everything, like her songwriting career had existed for a long time before Tapestry came out. And then that just put her, as a performer, that album just put her right through the roof.
This is another artist. Remember when I came across Paul Simon, I told you I want to listen to every song he wrote.
Yeah.
This is another artist where I feel like I have to go through everything she did because her writing's just amazing.
There is a Broadway show, Vic, about Carole King that if it comes back to Chicago, you really need to see it because it talks about her story and all the songs that she wrote. And I think after loving this album as much as you did, you definitely, if it comes back, you should see it.
You know, it's funny because Jeannie and I were driving down Randolph and she saw that on the marquee and she said, oh, we should go see that. And I was like, who's Carole King? And she, you know, as soon as she started, well, hold on. Now, as soon as she started telling me, I was like, oh, yeah, I know who Carole King is. And I just was like, that doesn't sound like something I'd be interested in. So we never saw it. And now it's like, oh, man, I can't wait for it to come back.
Yeah. All right. Well, Vic, we got to hit the news.
Okay.
But I really appreciate you doing this, man, and we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Esmeralda, great hearing your voice again.
Yeah, same, Vic.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, see you, Vic. Take care. That's Vic's Picks, everybody. He'll do it again. He's going through that top 100 best albums of all time list from Rolling Stone, and we'll learn what else he learned next week on Vic's Picks.